Peace, y'all. This is Reels on the Sidewalker.
God damn it. Was that loud?
That was loud. Yeah, I was
trying to. You know what I mean? We just got done, man. We was listening to 21 album, man. Shout out to Mike, man, because I really wasn't in a rush to listen to it. And I fuck with 21. Everybody know I fuck with 21. But, man, you know, I don't know, man. The whole album scared me.
It was a good start.
Yeah, good start. It's pre-workout music.
Yeah. It's a good start. It's real bad at the end, though.
No, the last two. We fucked with the last two.
No, we didn't.
I fucked with the last song. I fucked with the one.
No, you fucked with the rock dude.
No. Yeah, I fucked with the last two. Yeah, I fucked with the last two.
Wifey, we was, Mikey, I can't hear myself. We was talking, right?
Shit, maybe it's a sister. Okay. We were talking and we had gotten into a nice little argument about it, right? Mm-hmm. When you talking about dealing with change in an artist. As an artist, how do you deal with change without alienating your audience? One. And two,
as a consumer,
how do you deal with your favorite artist making the change?
Ooh. I don't think that we really allow our favorite artists to change, to be honest. And the part that really sucks is that when we fall in love with them, it's really not who they are genuinely as an artist, especially if they come from like a big label. Mm-hmm. Usually they're packaged. They have a lot of songs that are written by, you know, different songwriters. There's a lot of money that's invested because they're pushing this new artist. Mm-hmm. So when we fall in love with the artist that comes out, it's usually not them, really. It's usually like a, you know, kind of like put together type of what they feel will be appealing to the masses because they want to get a return on what was put out. I think that puts the artists in a weird position because it's like, okay, I have this talent. I have a vision for myself. However, that's not what's selling right now. So when they do step out, you know, fans are kind of like,
Yeah.
What's this?
Facts.
Like with Miguel, I always use him as a prime example
as
for
you
me. Because
as
I when I tell y'all, I loved Miguel so much when he first came out. And I still held on like with Kaleidoscope Dreams. But after that, like I forced myself to like Kaleidoscope Dreams. And then after that it was like
Kaleidoscope Dreams?
No, I had to sit with it.
At the second or the third album.
That's the second one.
Wait, because Kaleidoscope, hold on.
Kaleidoscope Dreams was cool after I sat with it.
I didn't like any album outside of the first.
I had to really like sit with it.
I feel like,
to like it.
His first album was premier R&B. It was all R&B. There was no exploring.
There was barely any skips. Like it was something you could just put on.
Yeah.
But you could tell from the beginning he wasn't going to stay like an R&B cat.
Y'all don't like Kaleidoscope Dreams? That's crazy.
Kaleidoscope Dreams was too
I had to sit with it.
That was when he was really in his Prince bag.
I don't like Prince.
Because that's Kaleidoscope got the pussiest mind on it and all that shit right here.
Yeah. It took me, like, I really, really had to sit with that album. And then I was like, okay, I liked it. After, like, maybe two or three times going through, I enjoyed it, but it was nothing like his debut.
It had to be something on there that kept you saying, okay, I gotta get this another try.
It was him.
His first album.
It was the first album. It was him. And it was like, okay, I'm gonna listen. I'm gonna try to stick with it.
So after Kaleidoscope's Dreams, it was
a done deal. No, I was done. I think I like Coffee in the Morning. It was cool. And then the one that he had with the jazz artist, remember? Or he's not a jazz artist, the writer. Remember something?
Oh, you talking
chill.
About Salaam Remy?
Yeah, Salaam Remy.
It was all on the radio.
Come Through and Chill.
Come Through and Chill. Before they added J. Cole to it.
Yeah. Which was a terrible. Yeah.
The original don't have J. Cole on it.
That was a terrible decision.
Yeah. But that was a Salaam Remy. That was on Salaam Remy's album. Yeah. Let me see. I'm trying to. I don't know if I have any. Did I fuck with anybody that like made it? No. I know. I think the only one I can remember is when J. Cole kind of did it. So his first album, he was like rapping. But yeah. He had a song called fuck, what is that song? If you got a good thing, open up and see you again. That shit, right?
Yeah. Work out.
Yeah.
I guess behind the scenes, he was really getting killed for it. So on the second album,
he made the
he really tried to double down and do the rappity rap shit, and that's when he made I Let, you know, Let Nas Down and shit like that. I hated that album.
That's one I fuck with.
Born Sinner?
I love Born Sinner.
I like Born Sinner.
It's my favorite J. Cole song.
I think the...
And then Forest Hill.
The heartbreaking one, but I mean, J. Cole really, he hasn't really changed as an artist, in my opinion. His flow, a little bit. I think the most heartbreaking one for me was Wale, when I was big on Wale. And then he came with the, like, the... I don't know what the fuck that Moon album was with the moon on the cover.
He tried was, to, he was the only person I was big on Wale.
He tried to go
he
into like
went out of state to go see he him tried to go like,
and everything. He was the only one.
Crazy. Yeah.
There's never been nobody that was like, yeah, Wale.
I seen Wale. I watched Wale perform before he became like Wale. Like we was in like a hole in the wall, which was super dope to see him. Like he was doing all his freestyles and shit like that. It was dope to see
artists. Wale always going to give you a hit, though. I think Wale mastered that part of it. Like, with the Lotus Flower Bomb. And
yeah.
All, like, I think he mastered bad. That. Yeah, the Matrimony.
Lotus Flower Bomb, Bad Matrimony, Bad Remix. Is it Sophisticated? Is it for Sophisticated Girl?
Yeah.
With Jake, with Jay Holiday.
He always going to give you that. Like, he's always going to give you...
A single.
A great fucking single. Mm-hmm. Now, albums.
He's boring, though.
What?
I like, nothing would ever make me want to go listen to him.
Damn, that's crazy. He tried to do like the, what the fuck do they call it in DC?
Is Darius.
Go-Go.
He tried to do a Go-Go album, and that shit was
DC? That's him, though.
It is him. That's but where I he come hated from. It. He incorporates it in his music, but I think that album, the Blue Moon, whatever the fuck the Moon album was, he tried to do it, all of it, and yeah, you kiss my ass with that.
And
shit.
See, and that's like where you kind of mess up at as an artist, because it's like, why would you? That's very niche. It's very you know, specific to where you grow up at, where you grew up at. So it's like, why would you? I could see throwing maybe one or two songs on there just to pay, you know, pay homage to where you came from, but a whole album?
That's what he did with Attention Deficit. His first album, he. He was sometimes rapping you do on it
to
it.
See if it catch.
He had the song with he had a song in there with Rihanna, and then he had a Go-Go song that was his first. Like he had Nike boots and all that shit, and then he put out the Go-Go song with Lady Gaga. And it was kind of like, yeah,
I like that song.
Come on, man.
Yeah, no, I'm not
the one with Bun B on it. Bun B's on the song. Bun B and Lady Gaga.
Who wants to hear a song
that
with
is a
Bun
crazy mix
Gaga.
Up? That's like, a crazy, crazy I really forgot mashup.
It. I really forgot it then.
I like that song,
but I just, you know what I mean. It's a slippery slope. And that's what I was arguing. We was having a real argument because I feel like it was a slippery slope.
Yeah,
I feel like artists as people, they're going to grow. It's inevitable. The problem is, you can alienate your audience by doing it, by growing. Can you have some that come along? Can you rebrand, as they call it? Yes, but for the most part. With growth comes alienation, and I haven't seen an artist yet that was able to continuously grow, as you call it, and not lose any.
Yeah, that's the life. That's
and
life,
a,
though.
Yeah, it is. But as a consumer, which I am, I'm a consumer.
Yeah,
I don't want my artist to make any changes that I don't like.
I think it's only bad if that artist. Audience doesn't grow past wherever that, you know what I'm saying? Like, wherever his peak is at. Like, if you just completely go downhill with the growth, like, because everything is involved at that point. Like, if the numbers ain't matching up, if all that shit not matching up, then that's when I think it's like, oh, shit, you fucked up. But if you can grow and grow an audience at the same time, I think you're doing what you're supposed to do as an artist. Like, if I grow as an artist... And my audience is growing with it because we're going to pass the stage.
That's one thing.
Yeah. Because you're going to pass the stage where the 15-year-olds.
How many times have you seen that happen?
It don't happen too many times.
Can you name a time it's happened?
Nas.
Where you completely changed how you did music?
Huh?
Snoop?
Come on, man.
Yo, what?
Snoop changed.
What
Snoop.
The fuck are you talking about?
I don't think Snoop
audience
ever grew.
Niggas that drink OE in black Dickies is not listening to Snoop Lion. They not listening to none of that bullshit he putting out. Doggy Snoop Doggy Style is not listening to all that that bullshit.
They came back when he did the Death Row shit, right? Didn't
what
nigga say
Death Row shit?
The Death Row album. I can't think of the name of it.
When the new Death Row album.
The new Death Row album.
Come on, man.
No?
I don't know.
Come on. His first album was off the fucking charts. Everybody knows his second album was shit. And then he came back with the No Limit shit. I don't really.
It's
a
completely different sound than Dog Style.
He got two good projects. He got two projects that niggas acknowledge over there at No Limit.
His personality outweighs, like.
I was finna say that. Snoop growth goes with his personality. It don't go with his, like, people his like music.
Him. I think.
I think for Nas, it did. When Nas came back with the Hit Boy shit and all that, I think he grew an audience outside of his normal audience.
But I enjoyed it. But it's still not a different Nas. It's still not a different Nas. When you say change, I know what I'm getting. I know what I'm getting with Nas. I'm getting introspective raps. I'm getting
he was getting blamed for his beats
raps.
His whole
I'm
career
getting
though.
Knowledge.
His beat selection was his
that's,
whole.
That was a lazy argument that came from Jay-Z's takeover. He was really getting killed when he tried to go mainstream. He was getting killed. When you talk about beat selection, it was the mainstream beats that he was really getting killed for. That didn't start until the Jay-Z
people
takeover
liked,
shit.
People liked You Can Hate Me Now. People liked You Can Hate Me Now.
You Obi was probably his big
I
hit.
Hate it. I cannot.
People like Nasty Nas to the Escobar. Now, he is Nostradamus.
I can't stand mainstream Nas. So when I listen to these.
Probably his biggest hit, though.
Possibly. But as a Nas fan, disgust me. Uchiwali, disgust me.
Probably his second biggest hit. What are we doing?
Nas was low-key pop. Not as far as like the music, but when you say
he tried to with I am is the one that people were really killing, and that was when he was trying to go mainstream.
Yeah, because Bravehearts, that was Bravehearts, and when are we at Bravehearts is Outlaws. When are we ever?
No, they got way more joints than Outlaws. I don't
know. They do.
What the fuck do they got?
Knock it the
everybody
fuck
was
off.
Saying. Everybody was saying that Nas's bodyguard killed him on Uchiwali.
That's the only song that they got, which is
Quick to Back Down?
You just put that to Nas.
Quick to Back Down with Lil Jon.
No, we don't know that. We don't
know that. We don't even know that song.
We don't even know that song. And you tried to add Lil Jon on it, like that gave us some credibility.
Oh, you niggas is being disrespectful.
They'll be like, oh yeah, that.
Oh, never back down. No, nigga. Knock it off.
You don't remember Quick to Back Down,
Scott. Nobody remembers that.
Outlaws are better than
Outlaws is Braveheart.
They're better than the Bravehearts.
What? The Outlaws, they got no Uchiwali verse, nigga.
I'll give you that.
Niggas that don't even like rap know that Uchiwali verse.
They don't know the verse. They know the beat.
Coming around with your tongue ring.
Wait, hold up. Don't do that. Because niggas know every word of Hit 'Em Up.
That's an anomaly. You can't bring up.
Outlaws. What are you talking about?
That's anomaly.
And that's bigger than Uchiwali.
You moving the goalposts.
No, I'm not. You talking about.
That's the Outlaws.
You are talking about the one. Arguably, I'm not even going to say arguably. It is the greatest diss record in the history of diss records to me. You can. Come on, dog.
The Outlaws is on.
Who doesn't know any of that? You cannot like Pac and you know all the words to that song. Some songs you just know
get
all the words
way,
to.
Yo, get out the way, yo.
For real. Biggie Smalls just got dropped. Hit him up. That's the Mac. And I'm going to hit him. Come
they
on,
better
man.
Than fucking Braveheart.
And it's not close.
Come in, Ma. Come in with your tongue ring. Peek with the front end. What are we talking about?
What member of Braveheart verse do you fucking remember?
Name I know him. All of Uchiwali.
Name what's their name?
I only remember Jungle, and that's because that's his brother. But I don't know them.
Who knows the
outlaw
verse?
Niggas? I just know them because they named after dictators.
Who knows the verse?
I just told you. I know all of Uchiwali.
That's
niggas know Uchiwali.
The only song.
I mean, thankfully Nas knew. Don't put these niggas on too many records.
Cause they stink.
But you know the Outlaws. You know their verses on All Eyes on Me too. Like all of the songs on there, pretty much. You know, even
niggas
though you
know,
may
baby
not.
Don't cry.
I know them, but I skip them. I don't skip.
I think you're the only person that like hates the Outlaws.
They're bottom tier rap posse. It's like
they are
Outlaws. Then probably Junior Mafia. Then probably G Unit.
G-Unit, I feel like they were kind of like in a league of their own because everybody had their own album.
No, they wasn't.
G-Unit had
Lloyd Banks.
They had.
Nah, we're not doing that.
We're not doing that. The Buck.
We're not doing that.
We're not doing that. The Buck.
We're not doing that. The Buck.
We're not doing that. The Buck.
I started listening to G.
When he debuted,
they all had success. They all had success.
I started listening to G-Unit during the mixtape era. The mixtape era, niggas really had to rap. G-Unit would not be where they are. Respectfully, without Lloyd Banks. 50 was the star. Lloyd Banks was rapping. Rapping.
This is before Buck was added, though, right? This is Buck was
no, the nigga. They added Buck because they wanted
somebody
they
from
wanted
the South.
Somebody from the South.
He did his shit.
And Buck and Juvenile wasn't, because Buck was with Juvenile.
Right.
They wanted somebody from the South. They wanted somebody from the West Coast. So they go get Game.
You got to give him some credit, though.
And Game was what? Tupac was on Death Row longer than Game was. On G-Unit.
Yeah, but it's not a... As a rap crew, like, they're the better rap crew.
Outlaws, Junior Mafia, all them niggas was trash. Outlaws, Junior Mafia.
Junior Mafia got a hit?
The Lox.
Don't do that. Don't do that to the Lox.
Sheek stinks.
No.
Sheek Luch stinks.
But you can't
Sheek
count
got
them.
A better
a
album
group.
To me, but
out of here.
As a rap group,
stinks.
As a group,
stinks.
You're not doing that to the Lox.
Boy, fuck out of here. Respectfully, I respect them. Stinks.
But who crew are they though? They're not nobody's rap crew.
That's just a group.
That's just a group.
It was Puff's crew. They started in Bad Boy.
And they went beyond.
It's not the same.
You crazy.
I don't think you don't look at the Lox the same way you look at the Bravehearts or you look at the
Why not? They were behind
They weren't a group that was introduced behind our artists though.
If you do, the Lox will be the top tier crew.
They was they on a lot of Bad Boy songs. What do you mean?
Then they're the top tier crew.
They weren't introduced to somebody else.
Smoking dick. And I'm talking about top five worst rap groups. Rap crews. And
Lox is not top five.
One is Outlaws. Two is Junior Mafia. Three is the Lox.
No,
four is PSC.
PSC was pretty bad.
And five is PSC was trash.
Wait, you say these
are
the worst?
I like the PSC shit. But
worst.
Bravehearts is number one on the list. Bravehearts.
They only on like two songs, bro.
Bravehearts, 3-6 Mafia. Fucking.
They're not a crew.
What's the?
They're not a crew though.
Nelly Nim,
Saint Lunatics.
You smoking so much. You got me fucked up.
Get them niggas out of here.
You got me fucked up.
What?
Saint Lunatics was pretty bad.
Saint Lunatics and Lox, y'all need to leave out of this.
Hey, yeah, y'all know what you niggas talking about, niggas.
Saint
Lunatics is one of them ones.
No, they were the Air Force ones. That was it.
What?
That was it.
That's disrespecting the Lunatics.
The Diplomats is considered a crew because they
really
from Cameron.
They really
Bird Gang.
All
trash.
Of
trash. They came from Dipset. Big trash. So there you go. There you go. I got my no nigga. The Outlaws
is number one.
Junior Mafia. PSC.
Don't do that. Don't do that.
The Lox.
The Lox is not a Bird rap gang. Crew.
They're not a rap crew.
They're a rap crew.
And if
crew.
They are, they're better than everybody that he named.
They were under Bad Boy and Puffy.
Yeah, but they weren't introduced as like Puffy's crew though.
No,
they
were
just
like
an acting Bad Boy. That's not the same thing.
What are you talking about? They were doing the writing for him and shit.
I'm saying, but it was like Nelly's crew is the Saint Lunatics.
Like
Nas'
yeah.
crew
friends.
Is the Bravehearts. You know what I'm saying? Like,
and I'm giving them an opportunity.
Right, so I'll take out the Lox and put
3-6.
Bravehearts need to stay there.
Put 3-6 Mafia right there.
Nah, I'm putting True.
Who?
True?
TRU? No Limit?
Yes.
Fuck out of here, bro. Fuck out of here.
Yes.
Individually,
trash.
I don't care for
together. Trash.
No. I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that to TRU. In their time, TRU was pretty decent. At that moment, Braveheart. I'm still mad you're not putting Bravehearts on there. That is fucking only, crazy.
They, the two songs I remember them on is on Uchiwali and Quick to Brag Down, and they did their thing on both of them.
They have an album, don't they? Didn't they end up getting an album? No. Like one? Well, shit, the two songs.
Come on, man. That's the biggest you missing.
To only be on two songs and not even get an album out the situation is more of a reason why they don't work.
Part of the reason why
even Outlaws got an album.
Was smarter than Pac. Unfortunately,
Tupac and Outlaws album got a couple songs that niggas fuck with.
What was the Cat Williams say? You have an unnatural allegiance to losers. Nah, that is not like you. I wish Pac was alive to hear that shit. I wish he was.
No, because
they weren't terrible.
They weren't.
I don't think they were terrible.
They wasn't Braveheart. They wasn't Junior Mafia.
They got some joints.
If you are.
Nah, I can't put you.
You are a supreme hip hop boom bapper. If you listen to Hail Mary past Tupac part.
You don't listen to Hail Mary past Tupac?
Absolutely not.
I'm definitely finishing Hail Mary. Yeah, why am I not listening to the whole Hail Mary?
What are we doing?
Why are you not listening to the whole Hail Mary?
Because after Pac, do I need to?
That is crazy. Yes.
The whole thing.
You bugging.
That's insane.
They're top tier.
I have never heard someone say that they skipped past him. Like, I've never heard that.
I don't listen to many Pac songs with the Outlaws on them. Or I skipped a part, period.
That is crazy.
I fuck the Outlaws, man.
I think, like I say, as a crew that comes under a rapper.
They too. After G-Unit, they too.
I enjoyed the Outlaws.
After G-Unit, they too.
But that's probably California bias.
We wasn't skipping all the Outlaw features.
We was not.
We was not.
It's a lot of niggas. You left D12 deserves a place in the top.
We ain't doing that. They have some shit.
I ain't doing that D12.
They have some shit. D12 has some shit.
Now that's a real rap crew. D12 has some shit. That's really my friends. These my friends.
This is my niggas. Hey, what you doing tomorrow? You want to come to the studio? What time you get off?
These are the only people that let me say nigga behind closed doors.
I think they... All in D12 was black, though.
These my friends.
Eminem is the only group niggas that let me say niggas behind.
I think they played the mainstream game, but them niggas could really rap.
Them niggas stunk.
Boy.
I think D9 could produce. I like him as a producer. Other than that.
Who could rap? Which one can rap?
Bizarre.
Nobody want to hear Bizarre.
Fuck no.
Bizarre was
when he had them all, Bizarre was when you put them on an
early
album,
Tyler the Creator.
But when you put D12's album was solid.
I fuck with D12 album. I
can't talk about after they all broke up and all them they rich so they doing their shit. I can't do that. But when Eminem was putting them on his album and when the D12 album came out,
D12 is top.
Solid.
They top rap crew to me.
I can't speak for the rest of this shit. What they doing now? I'm not speaking for it.
Why?
Because they have no association to Eminem.
When was the last time you put on a D12 album and listened to it with the same ears? When was the last time?
I like fight
I listen
music.
To Love Me often. I listen to Love Me. I like drug music. I mean drug ballad. I even put on Purple Pills sometimes.
That is
Purple Pills. If you
Purple Pills, that's fucking cool.
The only one I only
Purple Pills, not the edited version.
Only D12 song I listen to is Words of Weapon. The funk flex.
You not listen to the fight music shit?
Turn this shit off.
That's crazy.
What was the Eminem album? The Re-Up? Turn all that shit off.
Oh, I'm not listening. I mean,
outside of the two Eminem songs, turn the rest of this shit off. I don't want to hear none of that.
Devil's Night is a dope album.
Devil's Night is a very solid
album. Devil's Night is a solid album.
That's their debut album.
Yeah, that shit was dope. Now, D12 World, I don't know. But Devil's Night?
Turn this shit off.
I listen to...
Spray my finger.
All the way.
Trying to switch it.
All the way.
Get that out of here.
Peace, y'all. This is the Views from the 7 podcast. You got Spence. I'm joined with my homeboys. Ivan.
What's good?
Skinny.
Yeah, yeah.
Wifey.
Yeah.
What's been going on, man? Shout out to your boys, man. Your boys in the...
That's it, man. That's all we got to talk about, man. The boys is doing their thing.
Championship, right?
Finals.
We almost lost that bitch.
It was very close.
It was very, very close.
Nigga, y'all thought it was over. Y'all thought it was over.
Like, y'all was losing?
Nigga, they was losing to the last 2 minutes.
Oh, shit.
We went ahead with a minute and 7 seconds left.
Oh, my.
Something like that.
Oh, shit. I was asleep.
I know you missed one. That was a good one.
I was asleep. Man. I don't know what the fuck. Wifey told me I fell asleep with the Spurs on. That is.
Oh, that's dope.
And they won.
That's melatonin for sure.
And they won.
And they crazy. Won, though. It was actually a good game.
Yeah. Spurs had a good game. A game
that- Hey, man. I don't know what was going on, man. I was just sleepy and shit.
They
I woke up.
They need to change their colors.
Do you think the Spurs
is. Oh, the uniforms stink this year. Oh, my God. Them shit's ugly.
Especially those tournament ones.
Do you think the Spurs as a franchise would ever get their due respect for what they did franchise wise?
I think we do. We do already. I mean, shit, we changed the league. We changed the league and how we played a beautiful game. Everybody's trying to emulate Wait, that.
What?
No. We changed the league with the beautiful game.
What do you
What do you mean?
What are you talking about?
The beautiful game is when we how we play when we beat Miami, blew them out.
They play as a team.
Changed the league how?
Because everybody emulated that offense. Golden State does still tries to do it today, but they won the championship off of that. You like only hold the ball for like a 0.5 or some shit like that if you don't have a good shot.
Y'all didn't create that.
Yes, we did.
Okay.
Load management wouldn't have it without us.
Load management, yes. I'm for sure y'all credit for that. Because team was old.
Yeah. Yeah. And that was that. When David Stern fined, I remember this to that. David Stern fined him like $500K or some shit like that.
Tim Duncan?
Nah, the Spurs organization.
Oh,
when we was playing, we was supposed to play Miami Heat. That's when both teams were elite. And D Wade and all them was playing. This is a TNT game.
Mm.
And Pops had everybody. Nigga, David Stern was hot, nigga. He sat all the starters. It was like $500K, some shit like
why?
That.
Why?
Starting don't fuck around.
Because you sat all the starters.
No, I'm saying, but why did he start? Why did he sit?
Oh, it's
them?
Just he has it's a, like a rest. He you know loading everybody up for the. At this point, you know everybody's older.
Yeah.
And everybody ready for the playoffs and shit now. But you see the rules change now. Where like you got to play a certain amount of games to be qualified for these type of awards and shit.
Yeah.
But. I think the difference now is like because, you know, Wimby is such like a generational star. They're not giving us enough time to like properly like rebuild. Everybody want a now situation, and it just really doesn't work like that. So absolutely, shout out to them for having to you know work through that type of adversity. Niggas want them to trade the world. To get that team right.
To get who, though? Who are you putting around them?
Exactly. Exactly. And then you see how much the stock is going down. Everybody, now I don't even know how the fuck they're going to have a 2024 draft. Everybody trading a pick.
Yeah.
Nigga, every trade comes with a 2024 pick. Nigga, that's how you know they don't respect nothing that's coming out of that draft.
Yeah, draft.
Yeah, man. Slept all day, man. Shout out to Bleacher Report. Bleacher Report is like a old girlfriend, nigga. When nigga, if you following the teams and shit, nigga, they hit you, nigga, with all type of shit, like back to boom, boom, boom. Especially if you're losing, it's tough right now.
So you're not gonna miss a moment, huh?
But nigga, I fucking fell asleep and I woke up and you know, so I had to go through the things. I thought you know I was seeing a lot of Green Bay Packer highlights and I was like,
I don't even watch. Football, I was just paying attention to Facebook, and I was like, oh, shit, 49ers losing. Oh, yeah. Shit, like.
Yeah, then, provide for your kids.
Then I seen Ivan post. I seen Ivan post smiling like, I don't got to deactivate, and I was like, oh, shit, they won.
Yeah, you ain't got to.
And it was mostly their fans that was posting about them losing. Like, yeah, I was like, damn, y'all done gave up on them. It ain't
them and the Cowboys.
Yet.
The 49ers are the Cowboys. Yeah. The 49ers fans are the Cowboys
fans. They just need
they
to sit it out.
So fucking bad. Like, God damn.
The Cowboy fans got to sit it out.
They need to sit it out. Because every year it's an upset. Every single year. I was looking the other day at my memories on Facebook, and it was another loss. In the playoffs, right. Like
they good to bet just, with though.
The funniest shit was I see my little cousin. He had when the Cowboys got took out like this round of the playoffs. His memories from the year before The Cowboys lose.
But see, I guess I was too young. I guess I was too young to really know and understand back then. But from my understanding, during the height of the Cowboys winning, Jerry Jones forced Jimmy Johnson out.
I don't know if that was during that.
That was during the season.
Was it?
That was during the season. They was fresh off of Super Bowl. Mm. A couple of them.
They won like three in a short span, I believe.
And then they forced him out. They ain't won since.
No, they have not won since.
So, at some point, it's like, I know you're the owner, but are you going to let the GMs and the coaches do their jobs?
No, because Jerry Jones is the star. They haven't had a star as big as Jerry Jones.
I don't think that's the problem. They might not.
That's a big problem.
That's a big problem. How do y'all have? Was it three Super Bowls in the 90s or something like that? Two, three Super Bowls in the 90s, and then you force him out because you want to be the fucking star. No wonder y'all losing.
It's only worked once, and that was with the Los Angeles Lakers. If you see the Knicks, James Dolan is the star. You don't know who the fuck played for the Knicks, but you know who the owner is, and we see what the Knicks look like.
What are you talking about? The Dallas Mavericks. Their owner is Mark Cuban is the star. Is he not?
And they won one. I'll give you that one. Mm-hmm. When the owner is the most famous person on your team's not doing well.
It's going to be terrible.
Jerry, I said the Lakers are the only exception. I said that.
Oh, okay.
They're the only and
but not, he knew that he had to go out and get the best.
And not necessarily because who's your star? It was Kobe Bryant. When Kobe Bryant left, he brought in LeBron James. So I mean,
and Shaq, and Magic. I think they only had
that was Jerry. That was kind of like a Jerry West thing, though. That's why he, like, you know, for me as somebody who follows basketball, like you never bet against wherever Jerry West goes because
he with the Clippers right now? He went to Golden State for a minute, but I think he's with the Clippers.
He built Memphis, then he left and built Golden State, and then he's with the Clippers.
Which they look,
they got a lot of star power.
Clippers looking kind of good. Listen,
Jerry West don't fail. He's built like he's proven it over and over. I built the 80s Lakers. I built the Shaq Lakers.
Yeah. So, I understand, man, you know, like Cowboy fans being upset. But, like, at some point, you got to start pointing at. Like, even this year, right, you tell the coach, everybody's wondering if you're going to bring the coach back, first of all. Which, if you even watched the game, I thought that was a team. Yeah. I thought that was a team thing. The team wasn't prepared at all.
Yeah.
And so when you I'm looking at the game, I'm like, this is a motherfucking team thing. And then everybody's wondering if you're going to bring the coach back. And then you say, after a couple of days, well, we're going to bring him back on a one-year deal. You got to prove himself.
I don't think that's not fair, though. If we keep getting the same result, what am I going to
– We keep getting the same result because you –
Yeah, but I'm the owner.
You, nigga.
I'm not firing me.
You gotta back the fuck up. You gotta back the fuck. You don't need to be all on the Summer Jam screen.
I don't disagree.
And I think this is his karma for forcing that man out.
I'm not mad at that.
So
I think they won one playoff game since 1995.
Karma's a muck. Hey. I don't even like using karma, but
one playoff game in 30 years.
You forced that man out.
It's insane. One playoff game in 30 years.
You forced
it's
that man out.
Really crazy.
It's crazy.
That's really crazy.
They'll make it, but it's first round exit every time.
Yeah.
I think they won one on was it last year, I want to say? They won the first game. And then,
so what's been up, man?
Nothing, man. Staying out the way, trying to lose his weight. I'm down 10 pounds so far. Ooh, this year.
Here we go.
This year I'm down 10, so just that's it. I'm out the way other than that.
What's your secret? What you doing?
Just like habit changes, right? Mm-hmm. I'm not drinking any soda. I put soda away.
That's a big one.
It's a huge one though because
soda right here, nigga.
Soda's like a gateway though. It's like a gateway. Like,
can't let it go.
I have to have something sugary.
He's diet.
So I still do soda. I mean not soda, but I still do sugary drink. But it's not sugar. It's like sugar free. So it's like sparkling water.
Yeah.
So
it's
trash.
Nah, I found the sparkling ice was good.
Sparkling ice.
Yeah, I can drink those.
Those are good. So like that's for me, it's like that wasn't a big switch. Like it still has a burning, so it still feels like soda.
Yeah.
And it has flavor, so I can do that. So like cutting soda out was a big one because like if I drink soda, it's like all right, well I done already fucked up for the day. Let me go get them chips, And let me go get some ice cream. Mm-hmm. And let me go. So next thing you know, I ate a bunch of shit because I'm like, all right, I already drunk a soda, so I already fucked up for the day. So like doing that is like kind of curbed all the other behaviors, like not drink. Not
so you eat. Just throw everything else on top of it.
Yeah, I'm like fuck, I lost today. Today is a wash. I might as well go ahead.
I think we underestimate like the power of sugar. Yes. Right? Yes. So that's why me and wifey be beefing, right? Because I'm like, I can do it, and I do it great. I get these, the diet sodas, the diet Dr. Peppers, and I'll kind of like be straight. I drink one a day, and I kind of, that fulfills whatever. But I'm still, it's a weakness. So it's like, you bringing the shit in the house.
Oh, yeah.
Will throw me off completely. So, and nigga, it's like.
Y'all got kids, though.
That's what I was saying. Thank you, Vinci. Because I'm like, we still have children, so. I mean, you have to, at some point, you have to have some discipline and say, hey,
fuck,
I'm not going to eat the whole bowl of ice cream. Don't bring it in the house if
you got kids.
I'm not there yet.
He don't want me to buy chips for, like, he don't want me to buy stuff for their lunch. Like, we still got a six-year-old.
I'm not there yet.
He wants some chips.
You've been a parent for a long time.
But I'm in the process of, like, trying to change my body, right? And that's like, okay. If I'm a crackhead, if I'm a fiend.
And you keep bringing crack in the house.
You keep bringing, nigga, I'm saying. And the worst thing you can do is have another fiend in the house. So you still got to bring this shit in the house. Nigga, I can smell it. You know what I mean? So it's like, man, you bring this shit in the house and it's like, it's fucking me up. I'm not there yet. I'm not strong.
What do you tell the kids, though? Like, let's say it stopped coming to the house. How do you explain that to the kids?
Y'all eat healthy, too.
Kids don't
want to
hear that shit.
Absolutely
not. But right now, shit, y'all ain't got no choice.
Kids don't want to hear that shit.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I don't even know what you said to
a 6-year old.
See, I'm still old school. You better go in there and find you something to fucking eat. You know what I mean? Like I don't do this.
I took all the shit away. All the shit you like is not in here.
This is where balance
comes off the table.
Because I'm old school.
Don't
hey,
even think
you
about
go
it.
In there. Hey, nigga, when you hungry, you gonna go find you something to eat.
You hungry?
I'm still one of them, nigga. I'm making candy out of syrup on the pot, nigga. You know, put the syrup on the skillet. You know what I'm saying? But so right now, you know what I mean? Shit, just don't bring that shit now.
It's hard to balance it though.
Chips and shit, you know, chips and shit. I can do that. Like, you bringing ice cream, and you know what I'm saying?
With that, I would say I was kind of out of line with that.
The Minute Maid keep you fat, low key. The Minute Maid is what keep you fat.
The juice.
Yeah, the Minute Maid, you bringing shit like that in the house, and it's like,
man, that's a lot of sugar.
And then next thing you know,
my baby's kind of good with being healthy, so I'm cool.
It's hard. I mean, it's hard when everybody on the same page.
It's very hard, and you know, like I don't feel like I don't want to punish the kids. Like you know, I'm on some healthy shit. I don't want to punish them.
Yeah.
But it's like it's hard to separate. Like, oh, I'm going to get y'all pizza, and I'm finna go home and eat a salad. I know that's wrong. I'm gonna eat some of this motherfucking pizza too.
Well, see, that's why I'm big on counting. Like, I count my calories and shit.
Yeah.
Since I've got my blood work back, nigga, I done fell all the way off. Right. I'm back to that.
That's
one.
The wildest shit to me. Nigga found out he wasn't as healthy as he thought he was, and then said, "Fuck it, I'm just going all out."
Hey man, nigga, that's
speed this train up, nigga.
Nigga, I don't know if that shit put me in like a nigga minor depression or what, nigga.
That is so much of a Red Fox Elizabeth moment,
bro, nigga. I fuck it, nigga. I know how Magic Johnson feels.
What?
Fuck it, I got AIDS. Let me fuck anything wrong. Fuck.
Shit, I got something. I came to get away. I can't get rid of it. Fuck it. Fuck it.
Why even try?
But I'm back, man. I'm back on it, man. You know what I mean? Like today, I'm really, like, I started counting my shit, counting my calories. I'm putting my food in and looking at my protein intake and went to the gym and shit.
You read labels?
I don't read labels. All I do is count my calories. And it's not really even counting my calories. I'm more on my protein intake. I pay real attention to that.
Okay.
But other than that, man, yeah, I mean, I'm living through you, brother.
Amen. Ain't mad at it.
Skinny?
I ain't been doing much, man. Same shit. Now I'm looking for documentaries. So I'm in this weird space. I keep telling you. Now I'm looking for like different docs. Like, what doc do I want to watch next?
We watched something on Max called something from Hell. Hell? Club Hell or something? Some shit with Hell in it. It was about like the kids, the bad kids in the 90s. They were taking them into the
Camp Hill.
They were taking them into, is it Arizona?
Take that out.
It was in Utah.
Utah, and across the desert. Supposed to be like a what we would call scare straight.
They got the one, is it on Max?
You're taking them into the mountains and you
so there's holes.
Yeah. It's
pretty much, yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's probably what Holes was based off of, honestly.
But like, because it's from the 90s. Don and shit, and
that's crazy.
Yeah.
Can you imagine signing your kid off to something like that and then they just don't come home?
I just don't come home is insane.
Right. Military. Like, what the hell?
The military shit.
Yeah.
Mm. Boarding schools. That was always crazy. Do you got to pay for boarding school? Like, or like military school?
No.
That's crazy.
I don't know.
Wifey?
Yeah.
Nothing really. Just, you know, I did get out a little bit on Friday with one of my friends. She'd been trying to catch up with me for like months and months and months to go out. So we went and had a little happy hour. So that was cool for me to step out. And because I'm trying to push myself to actually do things this year. Like, if I say I'm going to go, I want to commit and I want to be there. So... that, and y'all know
I'm
me.
I'm fighting right now because I didn't show up.
Boy, that is like, I don't know why that's such a, that has always been like a really hard thing for me, because in the moment it just feels good. I'd be like, yeah, I want to go. Let's go do this. We finna go have brunch and we're going to, you know, have drinks. And it sounds like a great time until that day comes. And then it's like, I really don't want to go. Yeah. I really, like, I love this person. I think you're a great person. I love being around you, but I don't want to get dressed, and I don't want to come meet up with you. It's cold outside. Yeah. I've been working all day. Like,
when I said yes, I meant that like a motherfucker, though.
Right.
I promise you, I swear to God.
I really meant it.
Oh, nigga, we out. We outside.
Yes.
Yeah, right.
Like, that's exactly what I need. Until in the moment, like, he had to really... He was like, babe, for real? Because I mean, everything. I was thinking of every excuse of why. I'm like, I don't know. I've been talking all day. Like, I'm tired of talking. I've been talking all day.
That's a crazy excuse. I've never heard no slack. I've been talking all day.
I think I might steal that motherfucker.
Boy, like, I've been talking all day. I don't think I just want to sit down and go talk, but...
I think I'm stealing that. No, I'm not even bullshitting, though. Like, I think I'm really stealing that. Why I ain't heard from you yesterday?
For motherfucker don't right show up with me because they've been talking all day. I am going to take that to the like heart.
I don't feel like talking about no bullshit.
I'm talked out at this point.
Hey, fam, I'm coming off a 30-minute conversation.
Listen.
For you.
I can't push nothing out at this point, but I was glad that.
Talking about a heartbreak. Damn.
I was glad that I pushed myself through it, and I actually really, really enjoyed myself. So that was a good moment. Yeah. And today is my mom's birthday. So, like,
Man.
Yeah. So, like, I don't know. I feel like I'm in a really good spot right now. So, yeah.
To be in that's big, man. Shout out to your mom.
Yeah.
When them birthdays come around.
Boy.
Yeah.
It's like you already know, like, mentally, especially when you've lost someone so close to you, you know that you're going to be...
Like, that birthday finna come up.
The birthday, and then you have the anxiety, like, their birthday's coming, like, the death date. Like, you know at least 2 days out of the year you're going to be taken out mentally, you know?
I try to skip my granny birthday every year. Like, I try not to get on social media because I know all my cousins.
Everybody
is going to be saying happy birthday. It's going to be a bunch of pictures. Yeah. I try to skip that shit every year. So salute to you for being in good spirits on
this,
your mom's
birthday. I feel like today, like, I had a little cry moment and, you know, just thinking about things. But I was able to pull myself out of it because it's like, okay, how many years are you going to, you know, just cry? Like, you got to think of some happy moments.
I salute the fuck out you for that. I'm not going to lie to you.
Yeah. That's why I woke up and cussed her out. I mean, I know it's kind of, you know what I mean? It's kind of like fucked up, but you try to, even though, you know, important dates come around, you try to keep some sort of normalcy.
Yeah.
So, you know what I mean? You got to cuss them out real quick.
You know, one fall into.
Cussing out being part of the normalcy is crazy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like, oh, so you still in the bed? What? But, well, I guess I better get up.
Me, man. I ain't really been on shit, man. I've been in, like, super dad mode, man. You know, talking to my kids and shit, you know. My son's going through a tough thing right now. You know, you can't really, you know, I've been talking, but I'm watching more. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Like, I've had to make a few phone calls, but, like, I've been watching a little more. You know, everybody wants to be a super parent. You know what I mean? But I've got to watch my kid through some adversity.
You know what I mean? It's hard.
I got to watch him through some adversity because it's going to happen again when they get older and I'm not around.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, you know, right now, man, you know, my son, man, while he couldn't really, you know, choose, you can't really choose where you play at, man. Yeah. He's starting to understand that, you know, jealousy is part of the game.
Mm.
And, you know, these kids have so many, these kids have so many distractions, man. And, you know, and for the, you know, the couple people that do come to the games because they're not that good. you know, you can, I mean, the eye test tells you who's the best on, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think at this point, man, I don't know what happened or what changed, but, you know, they're like icing them out now.
Jeez.
Not even, yeah. You know, not even, they ain't even trying to hide it no more. You know what I'm saying?
Like, they would rather lose than to.
That's the crazy. But when we were talking about that last week, I was like, why would you not play the one that scores? Why would you not play the nigga that's going to score points?
It's not even the coach.
The coach acknowledged, at least to me, that it's a lot of jealousy. You know what I mean? It's jealousy. I think the issue is now is, well, what does that matter? You know what I mean? Yeah. And if it gets this bad, or if it's this bad, shit, as a coach, I'm just trying to get this year out the way.
So you walking on the court yet?
No, I'm not walking on the court. Man, you know what I mean? They're young adults. You know what I'm saying? Like, he still got to find a way. And to me.
You going to the locker room? Talk to the coach?
As a player?
No, you as a parent. Like, are you going to the locker room?
I've talked to the coach. You know what I mean? I can't really do nothing with nobody else. You know, no kids, no shit like that.
Even though you do kind of want to.
But
it's get that nigga out the game. What are we doing?
It's adversity. You know what I mean? And it's adversity, and he gonna have to learn how to play through it or find ways to impact the game. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You can't. And this is what I was trying to. You know, there's so many parents out there that want to be saviors and are living through their kids. You know what I mean? And I could have been the one where I was taking my kids to a million teams.
Yeah.
And he's playing with a million kids, but at some point you're gonna get to where you cannot choose who you play for or who you play with. You cannot do that.
Yeah.
So what happens when you get into that situation? And I know it's tough. You know, everybody was kind of pretty much warning them that it was coming. But I know it's tough. But okay, well, what other avenues can you? How else can you impact the game? And that may propel him to thrive in another area.
Yeah.
It takes it to the next level. The only problem is now it's, well, you missed half of the year last year because your knee.
Yeah.
And now they're icing you out this year.
Yeah.
You know, so the stats are there for everybody to see. You know what I'm saying? He's like, I think he got like almost 200 points now without the ball in his hands.
Mm.
I think the next closest person got like 149, something like that. So you know he can put the ball in, you know.
Yeah.
But if you're asking you out, what can you do? So find other ways to be impactful until this shit is over with. It's just now getting him to the next level.
Right.
And it sucks, like, watching your kid go through something like that, especially when you know that they're competitive just naturally. He has always been a competitive child. So it's like, you know, he talks shit, and he gonna tell you that you trash if you trash. But I mean, like at some point, it's like he said, you do have to back off and let him try to deal with, or let them try to deal with it. But it's so hard, especially when you know some bullshit.
Yeah, but like you say, it's finding other ways to be impactful because, okay, well, they're not passing me the ball on offense. Okay, well, if I come down here and if I get a steal from my man, now I'm on a fast break and I don't have to pass y'all the ball either. Or if I find a way to be a better rebounder, now I got the ball on the fast break. I don't got to pass y'all the ball either. So it's just,
So what's the balance then? Because if I'm trying to play these other kids, I don't feel like have respectfully. These other kids, I feel like don't have a shot. There's one kid. There's one of his teammates.
It's like two.
One of his teammates.
That's two. That's like pretty decent.
Okay.
It's one of his teammates that's going to school for football.
Okay.
Right. The rest of them, maybe one, got a legit shot to take it to the next level.
Okay.
Right. So if I'm trying to be recruited, if I'm trying to do these things, we know how unforgiving basketball is.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what happens when I start playing selfishly and someone does show?
It's tough. Like I said, if I'm rebounding the ball, if I become the best rebounder on the team, and I'm running the ball down myself, I don't have to pass. And it doesn't look like okay. Well, he's isolating his teammates because I saw the opportunity and I just took it. If I create the turnover on defense
and I score,
I already have the ball. What am I slowing the ball down for? I can score when I touch the ball, like that. So that part of it it's never going to go away. Yeah. It's finding other ways to become a star on the court.
Yeah. So like I said, I'm never going to take his competitive edge away.
Yeah.
He's competitive. He's not. I wouldn't say he's a bad teammate, but you know, I tell him. Ain't gonna be no fighting, but in practice, bust they ass. That's what you here for.
Sometimes you got to be Kobe.
So and it's like he's getting, shit. He is getting punished because prior to this leg injury or his knee injury, he was a driver. He was driving.
Yeah.
So I put in this work on. What could be deemed as one leg, and then I come back, and now I am by far, the best shooter on the team now. Now I'm being a dog and different. He didn't change his game up.
Because
he was killing as a driver, but then, you know, he was a knee injury. He put in the work. He come back. Now I'm by far the best three-point shooter on the team. And now, I'm getting punished for it.
But I think that's what you want. Out of a player, you want a player that can change their game due to like whatever their situation is.
Yeah,
right. Like absolutely.
You want that as a player. If you was like, I was a D Rose fan, right? I fuck with D Rose. If D Rose would have been able to come back and change his game, he would like. If D Rose would have became a shooter,
I mean, yeah,
because D Rose was a driver.
Yeah.
And then when you come back, you're still trying to drive. And you ain't got no. That motherfucker gone, fam. It's gone. You feel me? Gave that shit to the Lord.
It's in park. They put it in park.
Shit is gone.
But at that point, it becomes a conversation of skill versus talented. D. Rose was talented like very few were before or after.
Yeah.
Did you have skill, though? Shooting is a skill.
But that's what I'm saying. So for his son to be able to come back like, be able to come back and still impact the game. Still now one of the best. I'm still one of the best scorers, and I changed the way I'm one of the best scorers now. You know what I'm saying? Like that should be credited.
Absolutely,
because a lot of kids don't do that. A lot of
you're
kids
the best shooter change. Now. You're the best shooter now. So I don't want to put the ball in your hands because you are a best shooter,
which is counterproductive, but.
It really is.
We're talking about young adults, so we know their frontal lobe hasn't finished
absolutely
developing.
There is no other. He found another point guard, which he isn't really a point guard, but they found another point guard to what I felt like to get him the ball so he can shoot that motherfucker.
Yeah.
At first, okay, well, I'm going to put you at point guard. Now you gunning. We getting all the tools, but we can't shoot. We're a terrible shooting team. Not a ball in your hands. Now I take the ball out of your hands. Now you killing, but now they icing me. So now I'm not a point guard, and now y'all icing me. So,
at some point, then the onus falls on the coach to say, "Okay,
absolutely."
Well, yeah, that's coaching.
If this is where you're best served, then we're gonna put the ball back in your hands. Now you come off the ball. Yeah. Then
I think it's the us versus them thing has become so bad. I think he's just looking forward to next year.
That's just crazy. I understand. My son is dealing with that, so I understand. Like. Let's just get this shit over with.
Yeah. That's a parent. See, that's where it's I come from. I'm looking at all angles.
Yeah.
As a parent, that's fucking hard. And I talk to the coach. And he acknowledged what's going on. He acknowledged that there's jealousy. But, I mean.
But when do you sit the point guard that keeps turning it over? Like, when do you put somebody else in that position?
See, this is where playing a sport comes into play. Because the coach only sees the floor. Mm-hmm. He can only make adjustments. But once you touch the floor, they ain't got no control over what happens on that floor.
That's true. But at the same time, if I'm the coach, if I'm a coach, I haven't coached, I can only speak from somebody who's played the game a little bit and who's reserved. I'm the coach, and I say, okay, well, this kid has a legitimate shot.
You play from the coach spot, so you good.
Both, yeah.
I mean, so you can talk. This is your spot. This is your lane right now.
He's the assistant coach.
Yeah, he was right there. He's right there next to him.
Fact. That's a motherfucking fact. Yeah. But if I'm looking, I'm like, okay, well, if I have a kid that has a legitimate shot to go to school, why am I not doing everything in my power?
To make sure he get there.
If that means sitting the point guard down so I can make sure this kid has the ball, then that's what I have to do. Because if you're not going to school, or if you're a junior, like if he's a senior and you're a junior, you have another year. I don't need you to shine just yet. Or if this kid has a legitimate shot, I'm going to put him in a position to succeed, just to show your talent, because that's my job as a coach. Like, yeah, it's to win games and it's to build young men, but also my job is to help you get to the next level.
Right.
Well, Mike Tomlin said it. I think it was on the Pivot, man. He said we have a lot of coaches out there, but everybody, most of them are running away from actually coaching.
Mm-hmm.
And when you having kids come through and through year after year after year after year, at some point you can get
jaded.
Not jaded, but if you see, it's like Facebook deaths. When we see them over and over and over and over, what's that word? It's like it don't even like
desensitized.
So it's kind of like, well, I just, you know what I mean? I've been dealing with this shit for some years now.
Yeah,
I just
wait on the next good squad.
Just wait on the next good squad, because majority of them seniors anyway.
But if I have a good, player here, like if I have someone who can probably control the game or probably give me the most points or whatever the case may be, if I have that here, I need to highlight that. Like, yeah, no, I'm not gonna be. We're probably not gonna be the best overall team. Mm-hmm.
But they had a legit shot at. I mean, they had dropped conferences. They in 4-8 now. They had a legit shot at state though. A legit shot.
When they play as a team.
When they play as a team.
For sure.
And when they play as a team, you know, hey, man, part of team sports is you start thriving when you realize who the top dog is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's on every team. It is what it is. If everybody's trying to be the top dog, it's not going to happen. No. They had a legit shot at it. When they play as a team, they putting up like 70 on people and – yeah, my son gonna have like 25,
which is a good thing.
Now, y'all take the ball. So they just played a team. This team that they just played is a pretty good team. They played them like a couple weeks ago. Blew them out. My son had like 25. This time they played them. I think my son had like 5,
and they lost
by 20.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Shit.
Jeez.
So, hey, man.
It's tough.
Especially
being a parent.
Yeah.
It's part of the game, man. I don't take it as to hard as a parent because I also played.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So now, okay, what are we going to do about it? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Soaking it and then trying to play. Like, okay. Because I look at it like, okay, well, if I play savior, right? I talked to the coach. I did.
Yeah.
But if I really, really try to play savior, now I'm butting heads with the coaches. And, okay, well, say you do make it to the next level. Well, what the fuck happens if it happens again?
Because it does happen in college, too.
And so then what?
Especially if they don't get along with the college coach. That really can fuck you over.
It happens in college. It happens on every level.
Yeah.
It happens
it's part of the game.
It is part of the game.
You know what I mean? Your fam was the one who actually warned him, like, hey, man, this is coming. You know what I'm saying? This is coming.
Yeah.
And so.
It happens everywhere. But like you said, it's about, as a parent, your job is to get your child through the diversity, because what you can't control anybody else's action. I was just talking about this last night. Like my son is frustrated with how his team is going, but I'm like, okay, well, you individually, you look good, and so this is the last stop. Like whatever happens on the court this year for you. Mm-hmm. This is the last stop on this level. Like you have to go to a different level. Whatever that level looks like, whether it's Division I, Division II, whatever it is, this is the last stop for this level. So you being frustrated about the results of your team is counterproductive, because you look good, and so that's all I need you to do. You do what you need to do so somebody else can say, we want him bad enough to pay for his education for the next 2 years.
Yeah.
That's all I give a fuck about as a parent. Do I want you to chase your dreams? Do I want you to be a pro? Yes, because that's what you want.
Yep.
I don't give a fuck about none of that, though, to be honest. I want somebody to pay for your education and for you to get more experiences outside of this city. These doing what you love.
Facts.
Yeah.
So just do what you need to do. Like, you know, you they played the #2 JUCO on Saturday. They lost by 45.
Jeez.
Lost by 45. But when
your son's numbers is crazy.
But your numbers look good, and you don't know who's in the stands. You have no clue. You're playing the #2 JUCO, so you don't know who's here to see who. On this, mm-hmm. on the other team, they're not here to see y'all. Of course not, because y'all have won 2 games that I could beat. that's just a fact. I see them niggas like, oh, I can suit up today, nigga. I still got all my eligibility. But y'all, you know what I'm saying? Y'all getting blew out by quality teams, but there are quality players on these quality teams that coaches are going to be looking for. And if you look like the man on your team, they're going to be like, well, who's the other?
Yeah. Who is that?
Somebody's gonna want to know who the other kid on the other team is.
We came for him.
But and I've literally seen it happen in real life where somebody was here to watch a game. A Division I coach was here to watch one player, and another player on another team got a scholarship to a Division I school because he had a good game. I've seen it happen in real life.
They talk about that's what most time when niggas was going against a Bronny or fucking yes. Yes. Carmelo Anthony's son or anything like
and
that.
And that nigga is struggling right now.
Who, Cayenne?
Nah.
Bronny?
Bronny. Yes.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
All the lights are on him.
Yeah. So
while you struggle, nigga, I'm finna ball.
And that's exactly what you're supposed. If I know I got Bronny on my schedule, I'm circling that game because I know I'm getting all the rest the night before. I'm eating good. I'm stretching good. I'm doing everything because I don't know who's in the gym to see him. Y'all might not be here to see me. Who's here to see him?
Yeah, it was a dude. I was watching something on fucking Snapchat with Overtime, and it was a player from a college that was like, I waited for the Bronny game. Like, I waited for
I'm gonna show out
for this nigga debut. Like, mm-hmm. his dad gonna be here, all the cameras gonna be here, I'm finna bust his ass.
And that's exactly what you
Bronny had like 4 points.
That's what you're supposed to do. That's what you're supposed to do. Okay, the cameras is gonna be here, this is my time to shine.
Yeah.
Because I don't know who. Fucking John Morant is the face of the league, and they say he got to college because the coach went to the fucking was going to the snack bar and just so happened to walk by the gym and was like, who was that kid in there? Mm. And so he didn't have any offers before then,
right?
So you like I said, you never know who's fucking watching. So to go from that to I'm the face of the NBA because I almost wasn't going to college.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. To I'm the face of the NBA, like you never know who's paying attention. So. Just do what you're supposed to do on the court, and everything else is going to take care
of it. Shit, Derek White, you know, he's a Spurs guy. I mean, he was a Spurs guy. He played for Boston now, but Derek White, shit, what? He was unrecruited, went to a JUCO. From JUCO, he went to, I think, Colorado.
Shit, the small uh-huh. Lin Sanity run was, like, paying attention to this nigga. Like,
well, that nigga was balling. That shit was small, but that nigga.
I think he killed in college, though, from my understanding.
But when he got his run in the pros, like, wasn't nobody paying attention to him at that level. So now niggas is gone. I'm finna get the ball today.
Yeah, I was listening to Draymond Green, and they had played Memphis, and the kid that was only playing because Ja was hurt. Is it JJ or something?
Oh, yeah.
Some shit, right?
Yeah.
So he was playing. He balled out. Balled out. And so I'm listening to Draymond Green and Draymond Green said, you know, after the game, you know, Draymond has a podcast.
Yeah.
So I'm listening to it and Draymond said, yeah, man, you know, after the game, the kid walks up to all of us and he, you know, he looks at Steph and says, okay, there was a viral video of him being super shocked and surprised when he was talking to Shaq.
This person you're talking about?
Yeah.
Okay.
Did y'all see it?
No.
Okay. But so he, anyways, after the game, he balled out. He walked up to Stephanie and was like, look, it was an honor to play with y'all. Okay. But I still remember when you uninvited me from your camp. That's what he told Steph. And Steph was like, you know what I'm saying? So you just, it's extra motivation. You know what I mean? You,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Especially with basketball, because it's only bad at the end of the day. It's only 5-on-5, man.
That's it.
It's a game repetition. Like, you know, so I'm, you know, part of me is like,
it's 5-on-5 and 9 out of 10. We're only looking at 2 to 3 players every fucking game.
You know, part of me wants me to put my cape on and I'm really flip out and shit like that. You know, that's what I want to do.
Yeah. But you know, he finna be.
But the parent in me is like, guide him, watch him through his adversity. You know what I'm saying? Right now, he hurt and shit like that. And it's like, well, you need to feel that type. It's life.
It's absolutely life. And even if I put my cape on and get you through this situation, if you run into it in college, that's a different level. I don't have that kind of influence on that level.
Facts.
You know what I'm saying? I can't keep coming to your defense. Like, at some point, you got to figure out how to maneuver these situations.
Yeah.
Yeah, like you have to, because it goes beyond basketball. Like, what happens when you get into a job and it's like, oh, my boss don't like me, I don't want to quit. Like, that's not the reality. You can't always quit because shit ain't going your way.
It's always fight or flight.
Yeah, at some point you have to
finna like crumble.
While we are here, it's been on my mind for like 2 weeks.
Okay,
it's been on this motherfucker. Do you feel like black athletes and entertainers, do you feel like they're overpaid to keep other subjects out of our household?
I do.
Well, keep the importance of other subjects out of our household.
I do. I genuinely feel that way. Because if the focus on, how many people do you know that focus on other things for their kids as much as they do on either sports or entertainment?
I grew up and all of that shit was gay. I didn't really start respecting nerds until I was an adult.
And the nerds have the money.
Oh, nerds rule the world.
Absolutely they do.
Yeah. I didn't understand that until I was older, though.
So, but even still, you see, okay, well, Bill Gates is the richest man on earth. It's fucking Warren Buffett somewhere in there. Mm-hmm. So all these people that do all these things that have nothing to do with sports or entertainment are the richest people in the world, and yet still I'd rather put you in an AAU team than make you go to computer club.
Mm.
Or chess club or math club.
Skinny wifey?
I kind of feel that. I believe that to be true. Like you... That's exactly what happened, because it don't take the focus nowhere else. Like, I have a daughter now that's in chess club, and it's like one of the best moments for me. Mm. Like, I'm super hype about her being in chess club, like, because there wasn't a decision. Like, there's no influence from us. You know what I'm saying? Like, I do know how to play chess, but there wasn't a moment in the house where you seen me playing chess or none of that. Like, there's no, like, this was literally your idea, something that you wanted to do. And you love it. You know what I'm saying? Like, she done won like 3 games now. So she's super hyped.
Shout out.
She been doing her thing. So, and it's like, although like when she see kids dancing, like she likes it, but that's not her focus. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I'm like, damn. Because as a kid, even growing up, like everybody around me was trying to figure out how to play sports.
Yeah.
Even the niggas that knew they wasn't going to get over.
Mm-hmm.
5-6.
Yeah.
Everybody's trying to find a sport. Everybody was trying to figure out sports. Like, this is what we're going to do. Like, we're going to play sports. Like, everybody felt like that was the money move. And then when you get older, you learn, like, oh, no, the people that's really getting money is never put no shoes on their feet. Like, these niggas wear penny loafers.
And I'm a cardiothoracic surgeon.
Yes.
Yeah.
Make $400 an hour or some shit like that.
I don't really, I don't know if it's really like the, if, I don't, I feel like as far as like when it comes to parenting or whatever, like, I don't feel like parents have really put, you know, entertainment in front of us and then like made that like, okay, you should be a star. Like, you know, a lot of times you put them into sports because they enjoy sports. It's not because you want them to be the next, you know, superstar that's coming out of Vegas or wherever you are from. I don't really think that that's something that we really put into our kids. I feel like our kids fall in love with the idea because it's, you know, the glitz, the glam, like, you know, everybody wants to be known. Everybody wants to be liked.
Okay. But so my question to you about that is, what do you attribute all the grade switching, all the school switching, all the AAU team switching? You think that's the kids or you think that's
parents? No, that's parenting. Yeah. That's the parents, for wholeheartedly, that's the parents, because that is the parents. Yeah. However, I don't, you know, I can only really speak for myself. I, even with our son, as talented as he is, I always highlight the fact that he has a natural talent for technology.
Okay.
Yes,
he Ever is. Since he was little, like, he knows how to put things together. He knows how to, like, without even reading instructions, it comes to him naturally. So I always tell him, like, you don't want to put that to the side completely. Like, you know, I know you love basketball. I know that that's something that you want to do. However, you are really good at this, and you can make a great living doing something that you love.
Okay.
So I think that, you know, as far as that part goes, it is important for the parent to highlight both sides and, you know, kind of give them a little bit of reality. Like, hey, this is kind of a one in a million type of situation. You know, everybody wants to play basketball. It's only five starters on the team, basically.
450 jobs total.
Exactly. So that's probably something that, although you are really good at it, that may not be your reality. Right. However, when it comes to technology, when it comes to putting things together, IT, all that, that's something that you really can do. And I think that it's just as important to pay attention to your children and say, hey, you're good at this. You can make a lot of money doing this.
You know, I want to shout out Charles Barkley.
Okay.
Mm. In the 90s, he had a very, very important quote. And I think for a minute he got killed for it, I believe. I'm not a role model, right? I am one who grew up in the church. So I know how important, I'm not even going to say, I know how important singing was to us.
Okay.
And what singing can do for you, right? Mm-hmm. For a lot of people, especially me growing up in the church, that was the AAU scene before AAU.
I agree.
It was.
The choir was it.
The choir. Yeah. Who could play the piano? Who could sing? Because this could get you.
Bitches.
Some. this could get you out of here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? When you look at, I grew up on the Jackson 5. When you look at the, I'm even going back, you know, the Jackson 5 and how big, you know, Michael was, and the story was always how the dad pushed them to be entertainers.
That was a story a lot of the time.
But what a lot of people fail to realize is that a lot of parents was trying to do that.
Yeah.
Especially in those times, right? And you got what? You got the Jacksons, the Winans. You got all these people at this time where singing could get you somewhere.
Yeah.
The Clark sisters.
Yeah, that's probably before my time where I probably never listened to them.
They were huge.
And so when I'm thinking about basketball, man, unfortunately, you know, I am a parent. I'm a young parent. So I realize and I can see when parents are trying to live through their kids.
Absolutely.
I can see it.
Sometimes it switch. Like, sometimes you're putting them in because they like the sport.
That's a rarity.
And then you realize, oh, my kid might have some talent. Then it turns into your dreams and not theirs.
Yeah. The reclassing is sickening.
Because
that part is gross.
That's because, Mom, do you think I want to go back to fourth grade again?
No, for real.
Like, this might be good for my basketball career, but what, as a person,
yeah,
I know all, I can color inside the lines. I learned that last year.
But what's crazy about that now is, like, the kids are desensitized when it comes to that. Like, they talk about it like it's nothing. It used to be embarrassing when we were, you know, when we were younger and in school to be held back. They're like, damn, you got held back? You must be stupid.
Yeah.
But now it's like, oh, yeah, I got reclassed. Like, they kind of, like, you know, glorify it a little bit. And it's like,
They rebranded it.
Yeah.
I think, you know, like I said, goes to my point, man. outside of entertaining and sports, I can't think of anybody else black that these kids would look up to. Even I would say even I looked up to in my day. I can't think of anybody outside of entertainment and or sports.
Let me ask you this. Because here in Las Vegas, we have what's called magnet schools, where they have schools you can go to for specific focuses.
I told you what I feel like that is.
How many people do you know that have kids in magnet schools that go there for the academic reasons and not for sports?
Never.
This magnet program is basically a portal for me to get my kid into a specific sports program.
I genuinely feel like the magnet schools were put in a position. Well, I want to say, I feel like the magnet schools were put into schools so they can take the kids out of the hood schools and take them up there to where Summerlin and them at so they can compete with Gorman.
Facts.
That is what, to me, that was 100% sports thing. But I can't, again, outside of sports, all right, and entertainment, I can't think of anybody that I even looked up to as a young black man.
Nobody?
That wasn't in sports or entertainment. Nobody.
I was a Martin Luther King guy for a long time.
He was already dead.
He was. He was definitely dead.
But super just, dead.
You don't like Obama?
I like the initially, what he represented.
And that I went to see him. I went to see Michelle at Doolittle before he got elected for the first time.
Mm.
So it was dope to see that many black people in all there for a positive thing.
Black people was there because he was black.
And I didn't, again, like when you talk about Martin Luther King, you talk Malcolm, and you know, you talk about other like black heroes or Moses, as you would call them. I didn't recognize those, and I didn't know who they were until I was older.
Mm, okay,
you know what I'm saying, or really what they represented. Everything else was sports and entertainment. You know what I mean? And, you know, I think I can only speak for fathers, but I think, or I feel like, unfortunately, a lot of fatherhood is based on how good your kid is at a sport. And I used to see a lot of brokenhearted fathers.
How do you deal with that? Like, if your kid is just sorry, like, because if they just don't have the natural talent, like, what? How do you?
I don't know. I got spared.
You know that, though.
You know.
You know that. Like, you
especially
know
if you play, if you played the sport yourself, then you kind of be like, all right.
Yeah. Like, you definitely know, like, okay, this ain't
for you.
Yeah, this ain't it. Like, my son, I knew, like, oh, this nigga just naturally just dope. Mm-hmm. But he sucked, too.
How do you navigate it though? How do you say, okay, well, I know my kid's not gonna be that, but I still have to not break his spirit.
That's where the difference between
you say, how was science class today?
How was lunch?
No. I think that's when you have the talk between. That's when you have the hard work beats talent conversation.
And that like I said, that'd be the thing. Like when I was just saying, like, my son is dope, but he sucked. It was the putting in the work.
Yeah.
Like, you know that you got the talent, but you don't want to put in the work.
Yeah.
See, it's the kids have so many distractions. Bro, I am still shocked at how many parks, how many schools. I remember when I was coming up, man, there was not many times. I don't give a fuck if we have to jump a gate. We was hooping. We was at the Rex all day. Niggas was having basketball practice. After basketball practice, I'm going to the Rec. We had to, on the weekends, if everything closed, we jump in the gates. We hooping on the pavement. Parks. You know what I mean? Like, I'm by Simmons Park. Nigga, that park used to jump every weekend.
You had certain parks that you just, if I can get on the court and play. Because you knew the niggas who can ball was going to be there.
Yeah.
Like, I remember when we stayed next to Alexander. I remember when Alexander was that park. Where, like, the kids that was, like,
Alexander was a part.
In middle school or something like that, yeah. Like, they couldn't wait to be like, nigga, I'm on the court and I'm actually playing with these niggas, because you knew it. I was in the park like, this court right here, the one where you're not going to slip and fall at,
yeah.
Only them niggas is getting on that court. You can do what you want on that other one, but this court belongs to these
even,
niggas.
Even with us coming up, right? Even with us coming up, we would always be like, you know, when you hear an older people talk, we'd be like, he could have made it.
Facts.
He was just on some other shit.
Yeah.
These kids ain't even close to making it, I feel like, without politics. Either without politics or they have so many distractions, bro. I can go on my phone all day long. I can go on my, I mean, you know, nowadays, I can go on my phone and I can watch film, right?
Yeah.
I can go on my phone, I can watch film from my bed. That's way different than going out there and doing it.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Like, you still got to put in that. You still got to put in that work. So I think I be feeling like the kids these days, they want to get there. They just don't want to put in the work to get there.
Yeah. I saw a clip from Gilbert Arenas the other day that was very high. It was very, it opened my eyes a little bit, where he was talking about your kids training. Like, a lot of kids, their kids and their trainers, they're training them to do certain things, but they're not training them for their level.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the moves you see on Instagram, those are pro moves. Mm-hmm. You're a high school player, and so it doesn't translate, because the defense they're playing in high school or the defense they're playing in college is not necessarily the same. So you're training your kids to do one thing, but it doesn't translate to the court.
Yeah,
and I know people who've trained basketball players. I know people, and they've told me like, yeah, I'm taking these parents' money, but this kid ain't gonna never be. This kid ain't going nowhere.
I'm sure they know.
No, they know. Sure they know. But it's like I'm paying $100 a session, and my kid ain't going. I don't know if the parents think the kid's gonna develop, or what the case may be, or it's like a guilty conscience. Like, maybe I wasn't a good father, so I'd rather just put this money into you. I don't know. But like, the trainers will tell you, like, this kid ain't going nowhere. I'm gonna take their parents' money though.
they think the Michael Jordan story is like for every kid. Like, he never even made it on the freshman team.
No,
there was
a reason there's a reason for that. And what they didn't tell you about Michael Jordan, probably, he didn't make the varsity team as a sophomore. Who the fuck does? But he probably was averaging 40 fucking five as a sophomore on JV. Like, they're not telling you the whole fucking story. Like, no, he didn't make
it. I sent my son the freeze out article. When they froze Michael Jordan out.
I
didn't send it to him. Although I know, like, at that time, you know, he show no rookie no love, nigga.
How important is, like, them type of stories to get to the youth? You know what I'm saying? Like, because I think the youth get a lot of part of the story.
Yeah.
They get the good part. Yeah. How important is it to give the kids, here's the story. You need to know the full story to understand.
See, my kids are not basketball kids at all. And I, you know what? In anything. Sometimes
though.
I don't even want to take that from them. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like, they need to know, like, basketball isn't everything. You know what I'm saying?
Fact.
Kobe is an anomaly. You know what I mean? But a lot of people are not going to, you know, a lot of people just don't live and breathe this shit. And that's okay. You know what I mean? A lot of, you know, when you get to, you know, we've talked to basketball people, and I think I was watching, what the fuck was I watching? Who was that? Was it Carmelo? It was one of them where somebody asked him, do they miss it? And like, nope.
Yeah.
Matt Barnes. He's like, no, not at all. And I, again, with the kids, man, they don't know the history.
Yeah.
The only thing they care about is the end result, but they don't care how to get there.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. I can see a motherfucker ball out. They can open up motherfucking Instagram right now and watch a nigga a million videos just ball out.
Yeah.
But you realize
how he got there.
You realize what you're saying though, right? Like that shows that there's a clear distinction, that there has been a change in times, because back when we were children, like, everybody couldn't afford to have a game system at the house. Everybody couldn't afford to stay at home and entertain themselves within their bedroom or without having to step foot outside. We actually had to go outside and play. So although it's like, you know, it's a different time, like, you had to be a basketball kid. You were going outside to play. What else were you going to be doing at that time? our kids have a million different things that they can choose from, and they rather watch the highlights and look at the training from the, you know, for NBA players, because that's where they want to be. They want to be at the, they want the end result, because everything is microwaved right now. Like, everything is instant gratification. We don't really have to work for much of anything.
That's crazy. I think it's a, like, I don't think kids, and maybe sometimes the parents a lot of time either, don't understand the perspective. Like, these are highlights. I'm only showing you a short portion of what the total process was. I'm showing you the end result. Like, are you keeping in mind this is the end result? Like, I had to get in this gym and bust my ass for hours and hours and hours and hours to get to a point where I can show you the highlights. Like, I made it a point when my son was, like, he went, like, he taking basketball serious. Like, okay, I'm going to show you the Lenny Cook documentary.
Okay.
Like, this is what talent without hard work looks like. This is exact, and everybody in the documentary is like, he had the talent to play in the NBA. He had a work ethic, and this is what ended up happening. Like, so I need you to see this shit. You know what I'm saying? I want to show you a real life example, because I'm telling you this. Like, you have to work hard off the court and in the classroom to get to where you want to get. If you don't, this is what it's gonna look like. You got all the talent in the fucking world, but if you don't work hard,
you're gonna be
the who shoulda coulda woulda.
Yeah, mm-hmm. you're gonna be that forever. Like, I know, I feel like it has to hurt. I've never been, but when you like 50 and it's still niggas walking up to you like, man, you was the coldest.
You don't forget that shit.
Absolutely. Yeah, I was. Now, I had. Would you want fries or do you want onion rings?
I tell my son all the time. I have an uncle from the neighborhood.
Right.
I have an uncle that was him. Play for El Dorado, all that shit.
Yeah.
Was him. He didn't show up to the state game because he wasn't ready.
That happens.
It happens.
Like, I think the biggest difference.
Insane.
It happens, though.
I think the biggest difference in generations is, I think, like, the earlier time, like our times, it was more people that was actually loving for the kids and trying to figure out how to get these kids to the next level. And now it's so much business and what can grab. Where's the money at?
The brand,
It's so much of where's the money instead of...
Yeah, the business of basketball changed, so the people that are involved...
Is looking for the money.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out a way how to attach myself to the situation, too. Like, yeah, I want to get you to school, but how can I do that and find some way to benefit for myself?
How can I get rich while you're trying to get rich?
Like, yeah.
It's so much of that, and it takes away from the love.
Yep. Yeah.
And then these kids is... Because I think their love is leaving too. Because then once they start realizing, like, damn, y'all don't really.
That's how.
I'm really just a price tag.
That's how I feel about. Yeah. That's how I feel about podcasting, man. You know what I'm saying? I was a lot of the podcasts that I listen to been around for 11, 12, 13 years, man. Grinded.
Yeah.
So I was very, very happy to see them get like real bags, and then you see these motherfuckers that we was talking about a few weeks ago.
Price tag,
fucking
man.
Barack Obama, Michelle Obama's, and fucking what the fuck the princes and all that shit. They come in, snatch up some money, and get out, and it just fucks the game up.
It does.
But man, as always, man, this was good, man.
Yeah,
we didn't get y'all about four hours today, man.
Nigga, I ain't know we finna be almost done. We almost shit.
21 that 21 Savage, man. Go.
What the fuck just happened?
I just got crazy.
Charlie Horse.
Ooh wee. That nigga to talk shit.
He showed it. Hey, listen. I am going to tell all y'all to go to the end of this. He showed his age.
Go get you some sugar.
Fuck.
Go get
you
some sugar.
Sentence.
Fuck. Go get you some sugar, my nigga. Call
hey, take us out. Oh, fuck. Hey, I gotta go walk this off, man. Fuck y'all. Take us out. Oh.
Y'all get to see that body in person.
Oh, shit.
Oh, wow.
He really fucked up. Hey, man. Views for the seven on views for the seven on. Come on, Shandy, you better than this.
No, I'm not.
Okay.
Yeah.
Views for the seven. Views for the seven on Facebook. Views for the _7 on Instagram. Views from the 7 on Twitter. Views from the _7 on Snapchat. That is TikTok. How you find TikTok. On TikTok. My fault. On TikTok. I'm tripping. This nigga threw me off. We not on Snapchat. On TikTok. Views from _7. That is how you find us. Follow us. Do all of the good shit. Everybody here.
Like, comment, subscribe. All that.
Like, share, subscribe, all that.
Oh, YouTube. View 7 Network. Yes. View 7 Network. Get to YouTube. Ivan, where can they find you at, brother?
Young Al Bundy. YUNG_Al_Bundy on Twitter and Instagram.
Shayna.
Shayna _Candy. That's Shayna _KANDII. And that's everywhere. this man.
You can follow the podcast D Rose. just call me Spence.
He out there putting it in park.
Out there fucked up.
I think you're interested now. That's crazy.
Skinny Junior 777 on Instagram. Hey, Mike, go ahead and take us out of here. We go.